Here we go. Let's try this again. I seem to want to go live on my own Facebook instead of Paige's Facebook. So, second time's a charm. Let's get this thing warm. I appreciate you guys joining me and jumping in tonight. We're going to do a little podcast, kick it off first. And then, of course, it being Thirsty Thursday, we're going to get into Thirsty Thursday in just a minute. So, thank you guys for jumping in. Good to see you, my friends. I'll say hi to you again since I did go live on my personal Facebook instead of the Lucky Legends one, which is not too uncommon for me to do. I've done that a couple times. What's up, Ruth? Yeah, I'm back. Sometimes I do that just not paying attention to what I'm doing, and I go live on the wrong page. So, it's late night. So this will be our late night Waffle Mafia podcast. What's going on, Cullen? That is hilarious. What's up, Daniel Maynor? What's going on, my friend? Howdy, howdy to you again. Yeah, I've done that a couple times. I think it's funny because then the folks who are my business associates and partners and so forth and whatnot are like, man, I saw you doing a live. What were you talking about, man? What was up with all those toys back there? What was going on with that? So, yeah, well, it is what it is. What's up there, Perky? What's going on, buddy? Yeah, let's get this shiznit started. Looks like we can get in here now. Yeah, that's a strange upgrade, especially for me to be watching that with you. So what Cullen's talking about is, I guess now Facebook Live or the Waffle Mafia podcast, when we go live first on Facebook, and then, of course, that gets translated over to YouTube. So we lose the comments when we go to YouTube, but while it's going on, the comments are the juiciest part of the broadcast. So Cullen, now with his added fire, Lord Paste, may step in and destroy us all with his gifts of goodness, all sprinkled with jelly. So let's move it on. Let's talk about He-Man and Skelly. What about that? What's going on, guys? Let's see who else is in here. What's up, Fafard? What's happening? What's up, Backman? Yo, what's going on? What's happening, bro? Welcome to the Waffle Mafia podcast. This is our weekly waffle wrap-up of all things Waffle Mafia. If you don't know what the Waffle Mafia is, you're listening to this at a later time, and you want to check us out, come over and check out the groups. There's Lucky Legends, where we're live at now. There is Lord of Destruction Waffles, which started it all. He put the horse head in your bed. That's Lord Carboco over there. We got Johnny Miz at Most Powerful Waffles. Check him out. And, of course, our brother Joito Josue down at La Wheels. So check him out, too. So that is our Waffle Mafia family. All good pages, great people. Lots of good things going on in those groups. So check us out there. That is a specific thing that we do. Of course, we are under the branch of the Waffle Mafia, which is all of you. So if you're a member of those pages and you participate and you make it do what it do, then you're a member of the Mafia, too. So there you go. Thank you, Cullen. Lord Paste is throwing out all of our links to the groups. He's super good at that, so appreciate that, man. It's that amazing tagging feature that Facebook has graced us with. So, of course, we always want to pay the rent. Thank you, Facebook. Not intending on getting blocked like Johnny Miz. So, Miz, if you're watching or listening, man, it's the music, bro. It's the music, but I understand entirely. So let's get this thing underway. We are fresh off the heels of WaffleCon. And so, guys, man, WaffleCon, how fun was that? We didn't expect it to be a monstrously huge thing. We didn't expect it to be something where everybody was going to be able to get together. We hoped that it would be, but also understanding geography and knowing that we weren't really in the most centralized location for everybody to do that thing. But the nice thing was the folks that came, everybody got together. And of course, big shout out to Eric Glenn, opened his house to us wild bunch of animals. There was Thanos was there. I mean, there was all kinds of madness going on, kids and then it got to be adults only after a while, and, you know, we showed off some shindig and some waffle style, so we got to do that stuff together. We enjoyed the toy, got to hang out with Ruth, and Cullen was there, and so really good time, little Chris. It was a fun time had by all, man, so very, very cool that we got to do that. So when we do this the next time, when we line up the next WaffleCon, we just got to grow it and just keep it getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what we've done since the beginning. So just we'll keep sharing the love and keep growing, and hopefully we can do WaffleCon 2 and 3 and 4, and you know, who knows, man, we might have a red light district con or something like that. That might be great. Just maybe have a little special section of WaffleCon for anybody who wants to hang out late. So there you go, guys. What's up there? Let's see who else is talking. What's up, Backman? Talks to you virtually. Enjoy the toy shindig. Thank you, Cullen. Cullen's getting that in there. So what we were going to do, or what I wanted to talk about tonight, of course, talk about WaffleCon. That was fun. Did that that was in Lexington, and that was in conjunction with the Lexington Comic Con. For anybody who didn't know exactly what was going on with that, we were having our own get-together, doing our own Waffle Mafia thing. So we got together and made the sword ring. No, I didn't. Actually did not bring the sword with me. I left the sword here. And y'all are wondering, man, where is Johnson's beer? Well, that is a great question, because as I arrived here at the Casa this evening, I realized that I did not have any beer. I do have one, which I've been saving for Thirsty Thursday, but I figured since this was coming off the heels of WaffleCon, we wanted to make it a super classy event. Wine, that's where we went, right? So, you know, only the finest of wines here for Legends, my friends. And it looks like we're going to do a little Snow Creek Berry. So let's pop the top and let's pop a cherry. Little pause for the calls. Woo! Let's do it, my friends. Man, it's been a minute. Let's see if my head spins. There's nothing classier than having a little bit of wine with your meal. And that's what we're, I mean, it's a late night snack. And you got your Boone's Farm intact. What's up, D'Lo Underwood? What in the world? No beer. Yeah, this place is getting classy now. Nothing classier than drinking wine from the bottle. You know, does this classify as wine? This is a flavored apple wine product. There you go. Thirsty Thursday $5 wine edition, ho. So there it is. So what we want to do, obviously you guys know by the promo, we're going to talk about Terror. But the reason that I call this the Parts Reuse Edition, for those of you that don't know, there is a PowerCon 3-pack. That PowerCon 3-pack features every bit of parts reuse that we possibly could use in Masters, it seems like, shoved into one 3-pack. So when you see these guys, we're going to talk about them. I'm actually going to open the box live. So I know that we don't typically do unboxings here on Lucky Legends. However, for tonight, you guys are going to want to enjoy the toy. So we got to make sure that I can get that out of the box. So with that said, going to get the 3-pack. We are going to do a rip-a-mock, I guess, and I mean, we're not going to rip it. I don't do that. We're going to carefully navigate the package because as not to damage any of the card art whatsoever. And then we're going to talk about these figures. And so Jesse and there's been a couple other people. Adam Monroe was asking me about, you know, how do I feel about the figures? How do I feel about the plastics and that kind of thing? So we'll just do a live unboxing here and do Super 7's PowerCon exclusive 3-pack, Terror, Plasmar, and Lord Grasp. And we already know some things about this three-pack. We know that the plastics are hard. We know that there was some problems with the factory where these were made, or with the plastics that were used. And I know a lot of people are revved up at Super 7 right now, especially James Manning, and I definitely understand why. Your email was kind of a punch there, guy. But so it's one of those things where quality control issues are there. We know that they're there. I see on my 7-day break and drinking Crown and Coke. I hear you, Craig. Craig, we typically don't get this classy for the podcast. Normally, I'm just drinking beer like a baby deer. But right now, I'm just going to work on this berry and pop that wine cherry. And then here in a minute, we're going to do a little rhyme time and give away some toys, boys. So let's have a little pause for the calls and a swig for that. And apple wine, man, that's where it's at. Yeah, Lord Grasp is really awesome. Three of them are cozy in one package. Yeah, they are. They're cozy in the package here. So we're going to uncozy them. So let me go ahead and grab those. We're going to get that underway. And I'm actually, you know, there's my beer for later. Get that ready. Beastie was going to help me get through this wine, but we're just drinking right from the bottle. That's what it be. So, Beastie, I don't need your help, you see, but I appreciate that. So, Beast Man was here to help with that. So, here we go. We have this wonderful, amazing three-pack, yo. So, it is Terror Plasmar and Lord Grasp. So, why Lord Grasp? We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we'll end this podcast and we'll go spin it. So, what we will do normally, and this is, we were on, you know, what does the Waffle Mafia do? Normally on Thursdays, we do a little thing called Thirsty Thursday. So, we'll be doing that tonight directly following the podcast. Give me about 10 minutes when we get done. I got to recalculate and make sure I got everybody, son. So, there we go. There's the box. We removed it from the package. So beautiful. Oh, so sweet. Come on, Glare. Don't be mean. Looky there. So there is the three-pack. We have Terror Plasmar, Lord Grasp, all in their boxed-up glory. And so, a lot of people, these were done as a three-pack exclusive. This was done for PowerCon. And, of course, you guys have seen the other three-pack that was a part of it. That's the one with the flesh-colored Stratos, the Prince Adam, and the Trap Jaw, more commonly referred to as the mini-comic group. Pause for the calls. And make it do what it do. So there is the second part of the three-pack. So this is another three-pack that was available as PowerCon exclusive. And a lot of people were confused. Who are these people? Who are these figures? Where did these guys come from? So that was more so what we're going to talk about tonight as we take these out and I'll talk about them each individually and kind of what they are and how they tie into the line. Now, the tie-in to the line goes back to Errol McCarthy. So Errol McCarthy, who does all the glorious cardback art that we see on all of our original cardbacks, Errol did a drawing and has a cardback art for each one of these individuals. So these figures actually were going to be made. We're not quite sure when. We're not sure of the exact timeline or exactly how they were going to tie into the line. We do know the timeline. We know when they were coming. We just never got to them. So it was at the end of the line, and we don't know whether they were going to be a part of the Powers of Grayskull part of the line or what the plans were for them exactly, if they were just going to be figures that were going to be released at the end of the line. But Masters of the Universe being notorious for parts reuse, I mean, obviously, guys, because it's cost effective. really what we get is just a complete mashup hodgepodge of characters, and it really throws some people off. So there's some people that just really don't like this, really don't like the concept of this, but it actually does have its roots in Masters, and it is, these figures were figures that we would have gotten had the line continued. Now, interestingly enough, this was not their names. Their names were not Terror and Plasmar and Lord Grasp. We don't know what their names were. However, you know, working in with Masters, with the Masters gimmick, that's where we ended up. So there's been some changes to the name throughout the way. They've been called a couple of other things. Plasmar, I believe, was Hotshot. Terror was Horror, I believe. And Lord Grasp, I think he's been the same since the beginning. So if you guys know otherwise, please talk to me in the comments. I try to kick over here and read them. Let's see, what's up? You didn't tilt your pinky finger. I apologize, Jesse. I actually am, you know, I want to keep it classy. That's a little pause for the cause. On some wine, y'all. Yeah, the apple wine give you heartburn. Oh, I'm sure it will destroy me. But hey, what do we do in the name of legends? Let's destroy my liver, my heartburn. It's all so great. But I digress. I do it for the love of the group, for the love of the legends. We'll drink my wine and say my rhymes and have myself a fine old time. And we'll open boxes and have some fun. And like we did when WaffleCon was done, we said our goodbyes and we walked with a tear and we turned it up and finished our beer. So there it is, guys. Okay, so let's get this underway. Let's get this three pack torn down. Actually, got to talk about a couple of things first. Sorry, got a little carried away. Three PowerCon three pack. So it does come with this pack in. Now, I thought this was very interesting, because this is assembly tips. So this was made by Super 7, packed in with these figures. And basically what we get on the back is a detail of how tough it actually is to change the heads on this figure. So what Johnson is not going to do tonight while we're drinking apple wine and doing a podcast and doing Thirsty Thursday is pop heads on and off of Terror. We're not going to do that. Now, if you win Terror and then it will so suit your fancy to pop his head on and off, I'm going to send whoever takes Terror home, I'm going to send this with you so that you have the official Super 7 instructions on how to use a hairdryer on your figure to make it work the way that it properly should have. So I'm going to go ahead and get that in there for you, too, just to make sure that you can make it do what it do. So there's that. Guys, I thought that was an interesting pack-in. Colin and I looked at this. I actually got this when I was coming down to WaffleCon, and I wanted to talk to you guys then and open it then, but I've held off. It has absolutely killed me because I've wanted to get my hands on these figures so bad for so long, especially because we've never waffled these figures, guys. And I know you guys are keeping score and keep account. Johnson takes great pride in the fact that at Luggy Legends, man, we have almost given away every single Masters of the Universe Classics figure that there is. We have had every figure in the line go through, you know, other than some of the crazy variants. Now, let's not get crazy, guys. But these three, you know, were three that we haven't had our hands on yet. So I was very pumped up to get this pack and to talk about it and sort of see how can we work it in, how can we have a discussion about it. Now, there is a member of the group who is responsible for doing this beautiful artwork. So on the back, Axel, Mr. Axel Jimenez, if you look closely, this is Axel's beautiful artwork on the back. And what we see on the back is we've got Terror with his extended neck. We've got Lord Grasp running down. And then, of course, there is Plasmar you know, busting a move, firing off his plasma weapons. Now, interestingly enough, we've got two snake men. So even though Terror looks the way that he does and Grasp has a crab claw, they are snake men. But interestingly enough, if you look in the background here, you will see the white ninja. So over in that corner there, there is a white ninja crouched down, and he also has yet a part to play. So very interestingly, with the white ninja, Axel did a little neat throw in there to hide him in the background, and we hope to get a figure of him as well. So very cool nods, very interesting things being done there. Now, he was also included in that original artwork, so this is not a figure that somebody's making up. These are all figures that, again, we would have gotten in the vintage line had the line continued or these folks had been done in the Powers of Grayskull line. What's going on, guys? Just trying to catch up with your comments, man. I can't keep up best I can, but we'll have a little pause for the calls, my man. It's probably like last time. I can't see a thing you guys are saying until it's absolutely over, which, you know, that's not quite effective either, but it's all good in the hood. Let's scroll over here and see what we got. Yep, missing everything you guys are saying pretty much. So, apologize for that. It's kind of, I like to try to keep up with the comments so I can talk to y'all, but it is not cooperating. Actually, it's probably the fact that I'm on Mama's Mac and Daddy's not the greatest with the old Mac there sometimes. So, here we go. Slammeriah. There we go. Thank you. Slammeriah. So, I don't know, is it Slammeriah or Slammeriah or Slam... It's Slammeriah, I guess, because he's a samurai, but... and the sneaky fourth character. There we go. I really like this set. I thought about buying it a couple times. Awesome artwork. Yeah, it's beautiful. White Ninja. We got Chris Farley. It was the White Ninja. Yes, we need a Chris Farley pack. No, we do not. However, I would not be surprised if that was in Super 7's list of items that they were offering to us to pick from. Weapon of Choice, Case, Double X. Let's get in here and let's get this sucker opened up and take the figures out, talk about them real quick, and then let's get up on that wheel because it is almost time to make it squeal. Got a couple little things got to do in the morning. Got some, no meetings in the morning, but got some places to be, so we'll see how that wine's treating me. Let's open her up there on the edge. Try not to damage this beautiful artwork. That is the thing, man. Don't want to tear that up. Got it taped in about 115 blue million spots there. Like to use the back curve part of the blade. Should feel just a bit more of a renegade. Here we go. Let's suck her up. Let's get in here, bro. Here we go. Get that nice sort of artwork insert there on the back. So very neat. Taped up here on the sides. Take that piece out. I like to try to keep the boxes as nice as possible because I do keep them most of the time. But I've got a couple crates of just boxes. So I got to unwire old Terror here. So, we'll talk about him first, since he is, we'll just go left or right, if that's cool. We'll use hard plastic to put them in the bubble also. Oh, man, get out of there. All right, and there we go. I got to break this guy free. So, see what we got. There we go, old Terror. So there he is in all his glory. So, talking about parts reuse, who is Terror? Well, right off the bat, Terror is a Snake Man. So we got a Snake Man insignia here on the center. If you guys look closely, that is the waist piece for Rattlore. So here's Rattlore's waist piece. Now we also have Rattlore's buck. So that's the same in the center there. We have Rattlore's arm as well. Very nice repaint, which causes the Rattlore buck to not look like Rattlore at all. We've got the trap jaw arm with a really killer paint job on that. It's just black with a silver accent on it. It's pretty awesome. And then, of course, we have Whiplash's head. So Whiplash being painted purple here works pretty well with the concept of this guy being a Snake Man. So it actually creates a whole new character. Now, when we look down below the waist, of course, we've got our normal bending and articulation that we have with all of them. But when we get down here, we have mosquito feet. So this is the first time that we've seen a reuse of mosquito's feet. So very cool. There actually was a plan back in the 80s to reuse mosquito's feet. So they work very well with this figure. They look really nice on this figure, especially along with the silver on the arm piece. So very interesting paint deco, very interesting color that they chose for this. So yeah, very, very nice. There is Terror. And so we've got the full same. We've got the Rattlore tail on there. So there is the full Rattlore tail. Now, also comes along, which I've already lost it. Come on, Johnson. Damn it, Johnson, do better. Here we go. The neck piece. So there is the neck peg. And like I said, whoever gets this is going to get your nice instructions on how to work the neck peg. The plastic is... I don't know. It has a little different feel to it to me. It does feel a little cheaper, I would say, or not quite the quality of plastic that we're used to. These joints are just so ridiculously tight. It's like not even possible to move them. So I get the swivel at the arm. Everything works good there. It's been noted before on this one that the loincloth is a little bit short. It seems like Super 7 just hasn't quite wrapped their head around the backs of these loincloths or the fronts of these loincloths for some reason. So they just seem to be a little bit shorter and expose a lot more of the ball joint on either side of the legs. So I don't know, guys. This thing is awesome. not going to lie. I mean, just hold it in my hand and open it up for the very first time and looking at this figure for the very first time and thinking about, you know, this would have been something that we would have had in the vintage line and how would I have felt about it then. You know, we can only speculate. We don't know what my 7-year-old mind would have been thinking about this. But I can tell you I would have thought it was friggin' cool, and it definitely is. All in all, man, Super 7 did a beautiful job on this figure. There's a little tiny touch of paint transfer, like right on his chest, and it's so small you can just barely see it. But little detail things like that kind of bug me. So I don't know. Glad this will be going to somebody else's house too. Now, of course, with him, we got the neck peg. The neck, to me, I definitely feel like it feels like it's a harder plastic. But as far as popping the head on and off, it really kind of felt like it was going to come, and I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to let somebody else handle that. And, of course, here is the neck piece. This is, again, just the Rattlore neck piece. Very interesting paint deco on it. It's very cool. So that is Terror. And so set him over here. And he is a member of the Snake Men, and we'll talk about who he be. So... what we've got, I'm going to read you the new bio that came with Terror. Long ago, Terror was exiled from Melodion, a dimension of sound inhabited by formless beings. Though Melodian's denizens were but whispers, Terror manifested himself as a violent roar that maimed others of his kind. Branded as a dangerous criminal, Terror was cryosonically frozen and sent hurtling through interdimensional space. His craft crashed in Eternia's ice mountains. They're on the map, Eternian ice mountains. Let's see what else we got. Where Terror remained inert for millennia. Freed during a skirmish between the evil horde, the evil warriors, and the snake men, Terror systematically assimilated the physical characteristics of several warriors. So they're giving us an explanation for how Terror became who he is. This is my very first time reading this bio, so I'm reading it with you guys. Try to let it sink in a little bit. Try to think about how I feel about that. So let's wrap our head around it. Basically, Terror was a sound, and he somehow was so evil he manifested himself into a shriek or into an actual physical being, later transformed into a shriek or a roar, manifests himself again during a skirmish. He was awakened, and he started assimilating the parts of other warriors that he saw. So we would imagine, obviously, that they're now describing each of the pieces that he picked up from each of the other warriors. So, I'm okay with that. I think it's an interesting explanation for the parts reuse, especially to work it into the bio, so that's kind of interesting. But, he can have whatever backstory he wants to have since we never actually got him. We don't have a backstory for him. All we really have is that cool black and white Errol McCarthy artwork and some notes about how the figure would be represented color-wise, I believe. So, I don't even know that we had that. I have to go back and re-research that. The final part of this says, the three factions agreed to hunt the alien, but when they cornered him, he unleashed a devastating roar that brought them all to their knees. Fascinating King Hiss prevented Quick Flick, who is also another figure that we would be interested in getting. So there's Quick Flick. Balls for the cause. Prevented Quick Flick from felling Terror with an arrow, allowing him to escape. Later, Lord Grasp sought Terror in the Ice Valley of Death. Remembering Hiss's kindness, the alien willingly joined the ever-growing forces of the Snake Men and became their secret weapon in battle until the brave trio of Plasmar, Slammeri, and Strobo discovered that Terror could not withstand prolonged exposure to light. So his weakness is prolonged exposure to light. And he is assimilated from who he has been around, all the warriors that he saw, and this is Terror. So there you go, guys. There's Terror. Let's keep on moving through it. I'm not going to try to keep y'all all the way through the night. I wanted to try to get the waffle going by midnight. So we're kind of on track. We're like 8 minutes away. I'm going to take probably a little 10-minute break there before we get that going. He does come with his attachments, so he's got the standard trap jaw attachments. They are painted, of course, to go along with his deco. So there's his gun. We've got the clawed hand, and then we've got the hook. So there you go. There's the attachments for Terror. Moving left or right, we'll get over here to Plasmar. Go ahead and whip him out here. Now, Plasmar is a very interesting combination of things. Really works well with his story and sort of who he is. Very pumped about this figure. A lot of people hating on it just for some of the pieces that were a part of the reuse, but to be honest, with this figure, it works really super well. So, he is very nice. Interesting. So very, very tight joints on these figures, so it's like really crazy to get them to bend. Now, they're a little bit loose at the swivel there, but everything else, very nice. So Here we go. Plasmar. So here's Plasmar. And what we've got with Plasmar is we've got the reuse of the Fisto head. We've got the Rio Blast hand. So here's a Rio Blast hand. And if we look closely, there's the spot inside. Let's go this way. Come on. Inside there to hook in the guns. We've got, again, reuse of the Rio Blast arm. If you look on the outside, still got the ports. Very interesting paint job. Shiny, metallic looking green. It's very interesting. But the coolest part of this figure, in my opinion, of course, he's got the cape. The cape's cool. There's nothing wrong with the cape. But coolest part, in my opinion, are these snake pants, man. Check out these snake pants. So what it is this is a reuse, parts reuse again, of Squeeze. So these are Squeeze's legs. Up here, this is Laserlot's armor, I do believe. Just a clever repaint on Laserlot's armor. So we've got a reuse there. And then, so this killer paint job that's done on these snake pants, guys, that is awesome. So part of his story is he is a hunter of the snake men. So would it not make sense that the hunter of the snake men would take their hides and create that as part of his armor? So very cool stuff right there with Plasmar. Now, another very cool part of Plasmar is the weapons he comes with. He comes with this interesting crossbow. Now, he's not a member of the Horde, but he has a Horde-style crossbow. So that's very interesting for Plasmar. He also, again, has the Rio weapons or the Rio guns. Got them taped down in here. Come on, man. Just forget the tape. So there they are. We can stick those. Those just plug sort of right into those little ports there on the hand. So, they don't stay in the ports in the hand. Great. More or less for posing. Actually, if I could just get it down in there correctly. So there you go. He's got his plasma weapon there, sort of as if he was gunslinging. So very cool look for Plasmar. Got that plasma crossbow, Horde crossbow there. I don't know the story on that, if that is actually a Horde crossbow, but we've also got another one of the plasma blasters that goes down in here. So if you want to pose them with the two plasma blasters. Now, strangely, this hand is a close hand, so it does look a little odd when you plug the other blaster in there, and you've got the open hand over here and the close hand over here, but it works good with the crossbow in this hand and his plasma blaster in the other. So there is a look at Plasmar. Very interesting figure that we would have gotten as a part of the line. Clever reuse of Fisto, again, Rio Blast, Squeeze, and then, of course, Sir Laserlot's armor, which was, that's very cool, too. So we'll set him over here as well. They stand good, and honestly, I mean, the click joints in the knees and stuff, those ratchet joints, I guess you'd call them, they work really well. I mean, they're very poseable. I don't know, guys. I don't see the complaints, really. The hard plastic, as far as the head, being able to change the heads, I get that. It's not able to do what it's supposed to do, and I totally get that. But as far as the look and feel of these versus the others, and I mean, they fit right into the line. I can't say that quality-wise there's anything wrong with them, especially the Plasmar figure. There's not anything really there that I could pick on that. A little bit shiny, maybe. We'll pause with gauze. And there we go. Caw, caw. We will set them free. I don't know which comments we're on right now. I'm just it's the stuff that's trickling through, I suppose. So Here we go. Let's get the final member of the three. Still got two more minutes. Crank it out there, B, and then we'll get this waffle underway, and Johnson can get to doing what he do, and I can hang out and have some fun with you. We'll be back to our normal podcast this upcoming week for Wednesday, and we'll actually do a character discussion and talk about an actual figure and do like we normally do. But this was sort of a special one on the heels of WaffleCon and in honor of this cool three-pack and wanting to share that with you guys because I have been wanting to do this for a while. So, good Lord. They're making sure that grass does not come out of this box. He is really in there, guys. There we go. Come on now. Mess up that beautiful cloak, son. Got work to do. Come on, snake boy. Come on out there, son. There we go. Gotta hook these anchors, yo. There we go. All right, we got him. So, Plasmar. No, Plasmar. Lord Grasp. Come on, son. Here we go. Got this Grasp-looking feller, yo. Now, he's a little odd. He feels a little odd. To be perfectly honest, the legs don't feel like they want to bend at all. There we go. Yeah, just super tight joints on these guys. So there is Lord Grasp. And so a type of a snake is an asp. And so grabbing with the claw, grab, asp. Don't y'all be playing grab ass around here. So we got old Grasp. So, Lord Grasp, he is a very clever reuse of Scareglow's cape. So, that's kind of interesting. We got Scareglow's cape. Very pliable, soft rubber on this one, as opposed to what we've seen in the past. It's just sitting around his neck. Very cool repaint, man. This thing is absolutely beautiful as far as the face. That does not even look like Squeeze. So, very interesting that they did such a good job and such a good repaint on that face. The claw, very nicely done. Look at the killer paint job underneath the claw. So, that's very cool there. Honestly, I feel like these legs, were these on Fearless Photon, maybe? They already had the stripes. I don't know. I feel like the stripes are, I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But what we've got is more or less your standard buck here. We've got the fin arms, and then we've got the boots. Combination of Clawful's claw, Squeeze's head, and Scareglow's cloak. Awesome repaint gives us this killer guy right here. And so there is Lord Grasp in all his glory. He is beautiful, guys. No kidding. I mean, this is actually actually like him really well. So, interesting paint job, but really fits in the snake insignia on the chest. And so, a snake man there. I didn't read the bios for Plasmar or Lord Grasp, so we'll read about Grasp, and then we'll get this underway because it's 12:02, and I know y'all are ready to play. Still got to fix the wheel, get that done. Let's talk about Grasp here, son. One of the elite generals of the Unnamed One, Lord Grasp, used his vile cunning to orchestrate his master escape from the Nameless One's dimension, or from the Nameless Dimension. He first made an alliance with Horde Prime and persuaded him to destroy the Kadex Crystal, damaging the barrier that kept the Unnamed One trapped. With a legion of Horde armed snake troopers at his command, Grasp then convinced Hordak and King Hiss to join forces on Eternia. Grasp and his warriors escaped defeat during the second Ultimate Battleground, but later joined forces with Lady Slither to reconquer Eternia after the Unnamed One's demise. While Grasp is a master of strategy, he prefers to lurk in the shadows and snatch unsuspecting victims with his captor claw rather than engage in a fair fight. While he claims to admire the stealth and skill of the enemies like Slammerai and Zodak, he viciously exploits the naivete of younger opponents like Strobo and Prince Dare. Lord Grasp hopes to resurrect both the Horde Empire and the Snake Men, but only to help him steal the knowledge of Grayskull for himself. So there you go. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting characters that were a part of this three-pack. They were a part of the parts reuse that Masters were going to do back in the 80s. We never got the figures. Would really like to see Super 7 maybe visit these at some point if we ever get into the vintage line and actually doing the vintage line. But as for now, we will take them as classics. Very much enjoy them. And let me enjoy them for just a few more minutes, and then I'll catch y'all back here, and we'll spin it, all right? So it is Thirsty Thursday. I got to finish this year of wine, and then it's time to get over here and do some rhymes. So thank you guys for hanging with me, getting through this three-pack, and give me just a few minutes, and I'll be back. So we'll see y'all in just a minute, and let's get it on. And got to get some of Johnson's toys gone. Been a Waffle Mafia podcast, y'all. We'll talk to you later. See you now. Peace. We'll be right back.